This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:49 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Shaoning and Philip. The U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken held a two-day visit to Malaysia this week as part of his first trip to Southeast Asia. During his time here, he held meetings with his counterpart, Foreign Minister Datuk Saifuddin Abdullah, as well as Prime Minister Datuk Sri Ismail Sabri. His visit also coincided with the announcement of a $7 billion investment into semiconductor manufacturing in Penang by Intel.
Now, some of the issues discussed included global health security, addressing the worsening crisis in Myanmar, and renewable energy cooperation. Experts say that the importance of Southeast Asia to the Biden administration is vital in its efforts to push back against China as it exerts more influence in the region. But there is this lack of formal economic engagement structure ever since former President Donald Trump pulled out from the Trans-Pacific Partnership back in 2017. So will all the attention Southeast Asia is receiving from the U.S. lead to a solid partnership in the future?
And what will this visit bode for U.S.-Malaysia relations moving forward? For some thoughts on this, we have on the line Thomas Daniel, Senior Fellow in the Foreign Policy and Security Studies Program at the Institute of Strategic and International Studies Malaysia, or ISIS Malaysia. Thomas, good morning. Thanks for joining us today. So how much significance should we read into the fact that Malaysia was one of the first countries that Anthony Blinken chose to visit in Southeast Asia, along with Indonesia and Thailand?
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me. Well, you know, I don't think he's going to Thailand now.
That's right.
Because of COVID and his allegation, I think he had a call with the Prime Minister, Foreign Minister. But it is significant, I think, you know, given the global position of the U.S., its presence, its interest in the region, and the nature of bilateral ties. I think, you know, regionally after a slowish start by the Biden administration, the last 6 months have seen, you know, a slew of visits by the Vice President, by the Secretary of Defense, by the Deputy Secretary of State. Now, Malaysia wasn't on the agenda for one reason or another, and I think there were even phone calls that were planned but didn't work out. And I think this gap didn't go unnoticed, and thus this visit was certainly much anticipated and welcomed by both DC and Putrajaya, you know, both in terms of optics and in terms of the issues discussed. However, I have to say that doesn't mean there wasn't any traction in terms of the relationship of visits to Malaysia. Secretary of Commerce Gina Raimondo was in KL in mid-November. For what I understand, were pretty substantive discussions with METI. And most recently, the Assistant Secretary of State for East Asia and Pacific, Daniel Kurtenbrink, were, you know, sort of popped by KL earlier this month.
So do you think the next visitor could be US President Joe Biden?
Well, presidential visits are an absolutely separate affair. It's probably a bit too speculative for me to go into whether there'll be a visit to Malaysia or this part of the world. However, you know, engagement with Southeast Asia is a priority for this administration. I don't think we can rule out a visit, especially at the ASEAN level, if the extenuating circumstances are conducive.
Now, Malaysia and US, right, have had this comprehensive partnership in place since 2014. You know, what benefits has this brought to either side? And because many of the initiatives discussed earlier, you know, like the visa waiver program, free trade agreement in particular, have not come to pass.
Okay. Allow me to sort of contextualize this relationship, right? I think one of the hallmarks of the Malaysia-US bilateral relationship is that, you know, at its core, it's a very, very functional relationship. There are sort of long-established, well-structured mechanisms in place across a range of fields that really allows for most of the work and issues to be dealt with by professional diplomats and bureaucrats without the overt participation of senior policymakers and cabinet members. This is a good thing because the processes in place that work that get done without much drama, well, you know, unless perhaps Dr. M is calling the shots. But I think, you know, the issue here really is, you know, because it's so practical, it's functional and it's low-key, it comes back to Qantas. So there are two major anchors of this bilateral relationship, as defense and security cooperation, quite resilient, robust. Not exactly a secret, but something that perhaps Malaysia doesn't bring up for a variety of reasons. There's pretty solid economic and trade ties. They are very diverse. I mean, last year, the US was our third largest trading partner and cumulatively one of our largest investors in key areas like hydrocarbon and high-tech manufacturing. Even amidst the pandemic, trade figures actually went up from 165 million in 2019 to 178. This year, as of September, it's already at 156 billion ringgit. So there's all these cooperation. There's also cooperation on environment, environment, education, cultural relations. And what the comprehensive partnership does is it conceptualizes and it provides a framing for all this diverse collaboration. Obviously, not everything is going to be achieved. I think some aims, like the visa waiver, perhaps a stretch too far for Malaysia to begin with. The question I ask really is that, you know, is it time for both countries to consider upgrading the bilateral relationship? You know, our relationships with China and Australia, both very important partners in Malaysia, are at the levels of a comprehensive strategic partnership. But is there political will on both sides to elevate, to deepen this relationship, and to formalize the process? Or are folks sort of happy with the way things are because things are very, very functional? I guess these are sort of questions for officials on both sides to ponder about and to answer.
Okay, so you see that there's room for a deepening of the relationship to perhaps a strategic partnership comparable to what we have with China, what we have with Australia.
To a comprehensive strategic partnership. I mean, it's one of those diplomatic terms, right, which different countries set with each other, and you keep elevating up the scale.
And I think one of the issues that is getting a lot of attention is about maritime security and security in the region. I think we're seeing a lot of drumbeats between the Western countries and China. I'm curious what kind of role does the USC Malaysia playing in maintaining peace and security in the South China Sea? Do you think that they're concerned by our close ties with China?
I think the Americans are very aware that Malaysia, like other Southeast Asian claimants, you know, face an assortment of pressure by China in contested waters. But they're also aware that we have been very steadfast in adhering to the position that any resolution must be in line with the norms and principles of established international law. I think everyone is aware that we have been pretty clear in our rejection on the basis of China's claims and in calling out excessive actions and urgency into waters with our own. I think it's important to state that while we do have a dispute with China and the South China Sea, it's not something that can be swept under the carpet. You cannot objectively say that the relationship with China hasn't been good for Malaysia. It's actually a very beneficial relationship, a mutually beneficial relationship. So the dispute has rightly been compartmentalized by both parties. This hasn't, this compartmentalization hasn't made significant progress in a variety of areas. I think most American academics, practitioners, and humans who focus on Malaysia or this part of the world understand that the problem is whether this understanding extends to the rest of the foreign policy establishment and the advisors and politicians who factor into decision making. This is a challenge for us, I think. That foreign policy decisions in Malaysia might are always driven by China, the perception of it. I think while China might be an obsession in DC, and our ties with China do factor into how we engage with the US, not everything we do is primarily about China. And I think it's imperative we communicate this clearly, but unfortunately, there's only so much we can do if folks don't want to understand that.
Well, just a quick one then. U.S. Customs and Border Protection over labor exploitation allegations, you know, by Malaysian companies. Do you think that's something they can isolate, or will that complicate bilateral ties between us and the United States?
Okay. In the immediate or near future, I don't see it complicating bilateral ties too much. There are no indications of that for now. You know, just like China, the U.S. and Malaysia are pretty good at compartmentalizing. However, in the longer run, it could create complications, especially if our position in Tier 3 of the TIP report remains and our sort of appalling record on the treatment of migrant labor persists. So there are sort of three ways I'll just very quickly outline. This reputational damage could affect our prospects. Trade relations, especially when we need to negotiate new FTAs with key Western partners. Foreign investment into Malaysia and export markets could be at risk, especially because the global private sector is prioritizing environmental, social, and governance criteria. And you see this in Dyson's decision to cut ties with ATA IMS. And lastly, you know, because of the close nature of defense relations and U.S. military assistance to Malaysia, which is actually pretty significant over the last few years, this could come under greater scrutiny if we don't get our act together and improve our performance.
Thomas, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Thomas Daniel, Senior Fellow at the Institute of Strategic and International Studies Malaysia, giving us his outcomes, what he sees as the main outcomes of the U.S. Secretary of State's visit to the country very recently.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.